It's time for the Outdoor Show with Craig Campo on KFAR Radio 97.5 FM and 660 AM. Also streaming live at KFARradio.com. Sponsored by the Campo Family, helping Alaskans having fun in the outdoors since the 1940s. And now your host, Craig Campo.
Roger McGill, my buddy, my plumber, my one of my football partners during the NFL season, singing Average Fairbanks Winter. That song goes back a ways, but it's appropriate this year, I think. Don't you? I think it is. I will confess, you know, we talked a lot on the show about outdoors and outdoor stuff, and the winter of 89 always comes up. You know, I remember I was 29 years old. I thought it was the worst winter, that I'd ever been around. It just got cold and stayed cold and ice fog. And, we've done a show with David Pruse on the winter of 89, and there's a lot of things happening in 89. We had Mount Redoubt exploded. We had the Exxon Valdez. We had the big plane crash at Wainwright. We had a brutal winter. So yeah, 89, when everybody said, well, it was the toughest winter, they're comparing it to this year. I always bring up 89. But, you know, it's funny. My mother, who's been here since 1954, still around today, bless her heart, she's a saint. She says, no, 61 was worse. Now, I was one, so I don't remember it. But 1961 was apparently a pretty cold. I kept saying, worse than 89. And I got to confess. Okay, so I retired this last fall, and I decided, you know, I've never been out of Fairbanks for more than 16 days at a time. So I went to a sunny destination south of Fairbanks quite a ways. And I had scheduled 45 days, basically, to be gone. So I got to the airport. It was snowing like crazy when I left, November 29th. And then the bottom dropped out, and it stayed out. And I was gone for 45 days. I was gone for the winter of 25, 26. I came back to 30 above. The day I landed at the airport, it was 30 above. So I missed. I know you, I can hear you swearing at me right now. I am hearing. I don't care. I don't give a blank. I can hear you out there on the radio. It's coming over the radio waves pretty strong. But you know what? It was nice. It was nice to be gone for all that. I had somebody, you know, staying at the house, watching the house, watching the dog. So that the basics all covered. But you know, it's one of those things that you get lucky once in a while. But 1961 was the year that my mother says was the toughest year ever. And I started thinking about that. I thought, well, how much colder could it have been than 89? But the big difference, we had some conveniences in 89 that we didn't have in 61. I mean, there's all kinds of things that made life easier over the years, over those 60 years, or not 60, that would have been whatever, 40 some years. Just so many things that that we take for granted, I think, you know, just in every facet of life, let alone, you know, more powerful car heaters, things like that. I remember my dad telling me, I mentioned to him one time, I said, yeah, Dad, I love the music of the 40s and 50s. I like the big band. I said, I think I missed my calling. I wish I would have grown up here in the 40s. And he just laughed. And he said, no, kid, he goes, you don't. He says, let me tell you what my job used to be. My grandpa had an old Model A or T, or not a Model T. It was something newer than that, but it was in the 40s. And my dad's job was to get up at 4:15 every morning and light a plate of coal and put it under the belt, to get up out of that bed cold, you know, have to get out of his blankets and get into the garage, or maybe just outdoors. I don't know. Probably wasn't a garage. And light a plate of coal, a little bowl of coal, to put under the oil pan of my grandpa's rig so he could drive the three blocks to work. He hated the 40s. My dad hated the 40s. But anyway, there's just a lot of things that, you know, you forget about. I mean, that made life, especially for moms, you know, that made life difficult. There was just so much stuff, you know, from communications to just conveniences, you know, diapers. They had cloth diapers back then. So your washing machines and those that had them, and today we have so many conveniences that we don't even think about that made life easier. You know, we didn't have to stoke a fire. Now some people still do, obviously, for financial reasons and for other reasons. Even though you got to have a wood sniffer. You know, somebody from the government come by and test your wood for moisture content. So there's something else we didn't have back in. Can you imagine? I could just see my grandpa coming to the door. Hello? Can I help you with something? Yeah, I'm here to shove this needle in your firewood to see if it's okay to burn. I think about that time you had to hear the crack of a shotgun, just like and get off my property. But that's where we're at. You know, I guess they say we've come a long way with technology. We've also gone backwards. But just let's think about some of the things that that we never had, whether they had to do with making life easier in Fairbanks or not. There's just so many things, from vaccines, which, again, you can go backwards there. We learned that through COVID. How about just medical imaging, MRIs and CTs? I had Jeff Cook on the show a couple months ago, who's raising money for the first PET scan in Fairbanks, which is a really big deal, to help determine earlier on if somebody's got cancer and what kind and if it's spreading, and just the advancements in medicine, where way back when, you just, by the time they realized what it is, a lot of times it was too late. Not saying that isn't the point sometimes, but now we have early diagnostics and stuff. Cancer therapies and immunotherapies. I've talked about my favorite company I've actually invested in, Immune Bio, a little company that's just amazing, that actually has the cure for cancer, and they're just trying to get it through the FDA. They've already been approved for bladder cancer, and it's like 96% effective, and the same thing is going to work on all kinds of cancers. FDA wants them to go through 5 years of study of each single organ when this system is already proven to have turned it around. It's just amazing. Their drug is called Activa, A-K-T-I-V-A, and the company is Immune Bio, IBRX is their stock symbol. I'd be lying if I said I didn't do really well with that company in the last couple of months, but they're amazing. You should look into them if you're all interested in the medical field or even investing. IBRX is their symbol. They're just a fascinating company with the guy who I think is the smartest guy in medicine, Dr. Shun, born in South Africa. He's of Asian descent, but just an amazing guy. What are some other things? How about routine organ transplants, as far as health, heart, liver transplants? Can you imagine knocking on my door, the door to my grandpa's place again in 1960 or 55 or whatever, and saying, hey, can you give me a ride over to the hospital? I need to have a liver transplant, even though I don't think they do those here. And transportation. How do you get to the medical facilities? Years ago, you got in a car or you waited 3 days to get on a plane to go to Seattle if the weather was okay. And now, they have LifeMed. My son-in-law works for one of the air ambulance outfits. He's a pilot. So you can be there in just a number of hours. You can be to Anchorage or Seattle just for immediate surgery, things like that, just all kinds of amazing things that makes life not just easier, but makes a difference between life and death, really. There's so much stuff, streaming information that we get. Again, people can argue it was good or bad. We used to have transistor radios, and we used to have shortwave radios to get news. Now you got 24/7 global cable news, internet news distribution, real-time global distribution. You can watch, when we're bombing Iran, you can watch just moments later video of, blowing up missile silos and Navy ships and things like that. That is just so foreign to anybody from the 60s. Just the speed of which we get our news. Weather systems. Okay, there's another one. In the 60s, they didn't have near the ability to predict the weather. And so oftentimes you'd have a snowstorm coming, and then you'd have, 50 below right behind it. You didn't always have all that detailed information where it was going to hit, where it wasn't going to hit. And so all of a sudden, when you have, vehicles that need you need to get around it, it makes that life much more difficult. So yeah, I say 89 was tough, but I get it, Dad. I get it, Mom. Life was tougher when you didn't have the ability to have some of these conveniences that we all have just taken for granted. And we'll talk more about some of those things after the break. This is Craig with the Outdoor Show. We're talking for average Fairbanks winter. We're talking 1961, 1989. And how about that night? Somebody said it got cold this year. I guess I missed that. Anyway, we'll be back after these messages. Stick around.
The Compos Outdoor Show on KFAR Radio will return right after this.
For more than 75 years, the go-to outdoor business in Fairbanks has been Compos. Bob Compos Sr. first opened the doors on 12th and Cushman in 1945. A lot has changed since then, but one thing hasn't changed. Compos' passion for getting you outdoors and away from the rat race, and their business philosophy can be wrapped up in a few words Bob Sr. used to say. And that's, treat people right and they'll tell a few others. treat them poorly and they'll tell a few dozen. Compo on Boat Street, doing business in Fairbanks since Harry Truman was president.
How do you get the smoking best deal in town on just about anything on 50-50 Fridays? Duh, that's how. 50-50 Fridays partners together with your favorite local merchants to bring you great new deals of half-off savings. Simply go to this station's website and click on the 50-50 Fridays button at the top of the page to see what new deal is being offered each week. Get ready to score your half-off deals on such items as dining out, entertainment, services, activities, events, and even more. Shop 50-50 Fridays. You'll spend less. You'll have more. And even if it isn't Friday, be sure to check back with the 50-50 Fridays page regularly, where you can discover unclaimed half-off deals that may still be available. Every 50-50 Fridays week, you'll hear about the upcoming offer daily on 8 of the most listened to radio stations in the interior. Can your business benefit from a week of saturated, enthusiastic promotion on 8 radio stations? The answer is yeah, it sure. Why wouldn't it? Talk to us. 50-50 Fridays, brought to you by the radio station, your local family of radio stations.
Spend your Saturdays with KFAR Radio for local programs, starting with Alaska Realty Today from Next Home Arctic Sun Realty at 11 a.m. The Buzz at 11:30, brought to you by the Tanana Herb Company, followed by Health Talk with Dr. Scott Looper from White Spruce Medical at noon, Compo's Outdoor Show at 12:30, Fairbanks Foodies at 1 p.m., Explore Fairbanks at 1:30, The Drive with Glacier Garage at 2 p.m., followed by Building Alaska with Jen Solar. Weekends just got local with KFAR Radio. And now, back to the Compo's Outdoor Show on KFAR Radio.
All right, we're back, and we're talking ancient history here on the Outdoor Show. This is Craig Compo, and I've been here since I was born in 1960, so just after statehood, 6 months or so after statehood. I was born in June of 60, so I don't remember the winter of 61 like my mom talks about. And again, we talked earlier in the program about it wasn't just that it may not have been as cold as long. I don't know. I've got to look at it. I should look it up. Versus 89, but it was just the things we didn't have. We didn't all have, you know, heated garages to park our cars in, to drive over to Fred Meyer's to pick up, a box of diapers that didn't exist, or some of these modern day over the counter medicines that didn't exist. A lot of stuff like that we just kind of lived without because we didn't have it. I don't remember. I was one. I was crapping my pants into cloth diapers. So probably way more often than I was going to say way more often than I do now, but no. Anyway, but there's good and bad, you know. I always like to have this conversation. Things we never see now that we did back in the 60s. How about people walking around watching where they're going? You know, most people got their face or their head in their hand in their cell phone, and they're bumping into stuff. There's people been hit by buses. I'd like that statistic. How many people have been killed by buses that were on their cell phone, watching their cell phone as they were walking, let alone driving, just walking? You never see anybody walking down the street anymore, paying attention to where they're going. And most kids, when I grew up, they got their working papers from school at age 14 or 16, and they got jobs in the local stores if they weren't already delivering newspapers or babysitting. There you go, babysitting. What did it pay, a buck and a quarter an hour? $1.50? What is babysitting cost now? I don't even know. I can't even imagine it's less than $15 an hour. It's got to be at least that, 10 or 15 bucks an hour. You can't find kids that want to work, though, you know? How about those waist-high freezer-style Coca-Cola machines that you used to put a nickel or a dime in? I remember a quarter, and I remember at our shop, we had a pop machine I was in Seattle, actually, at the Bryant Corporation, who sold Evan Root Outboards. My dad would take me on business trips, and they had a Coke machine where you could get a bottle of Coca-Cola for a dime. Now, probably a pass-through for the employees, but they had that there, and I remember asking my dad, "Hey, you got a dime, Dad? You got a dime?" And he'd give me a dime, and I'd have a Coke, and 10 minutes later, he'd say, "Hey, Dad, you got a dime? You got another dime?" So that was pretty sugared up, I imagine, but... And then I remember coming back to the shop after high school, or before I'll say after high school because it sounds more politically correct. But my dad had a pop machine there for a quarter, you could get you could get anything you wanted, you know, a Coke or 7-Up or whatever you wanted. I hardly even see 7-Up anymore, do you? But you could get whatever sodas you wanted. And there was one of those soda options that always said out of order. And it would take a quarter, and it was for after hours. When you put the quarter in there, Olympia beer can would come down. And so we got to drink beer after work, a couple of beers, and my dad would buy the beer, which is politically incorrect anymore for your employees. He would buy the beer, and he would get the money to buy the beer back at a quarter a can, which would pay for your case of beer. Because I remember when really the only two beers in Fairbanks was Bud and Ole, mostly Ole. Olympia beer was like the king of beers, although that isn't their slogan, it's Budweiser. But in Fairbanks, it was the king, and then Budweiser came into it. And really, that was about it, Ole and Bud. There were other beers, Schlitz. You remember Schlitz and those? And then the Alaskan brew, Prince Broy. Oh, Prince Broy Extra. We used to buy it just out of high school, just after high school, when we were legally of age, of course. Prince Broy Extra, which tasted like a cross between vinegar and beet juice. And maybe, I don't know, what else? What else could you put in there? Eggnog. Vinegar, beet juice, and eggnog. That's what the Prince Broy tasted like. But man, it was powerful, and that's why we bought it. I think it was 6.5 or 8.5. I don't know what it was, but it was pretty strong. That was high school days. And I got a funny story about that. We're kind of all over the page today. We're going from talking about the past to earlier. So a good friend of mine, who's one of my best friends, who's passed away now, Leon Van Wy, he bought something at the Hi-Pow auction one time that he had tucked in his garage somewhere for 20 years, and it was a 6-pack of Prince Broy Extra. He gave it to me for a Christmas present because we used to drink it in high school, and he had bought it just at the auction because it was just this was unpasteurized beer, okay? Unpasteurized beer, still in the can, still in the 6-pack. So he gave it to me, and I had it at the shop. I didn't know what to do with it. I was cleaning up the old trailer, which used to be my office there. And I put it, for some reason, stupid, I put it in the fridge. There's a fridge, an empty fridge in there. I had nowhere else to put it, so I just shoved it in the back of the fridge. Unpasteurized 33-year-old Prince Broy Extra beer. And I had a friend of mine come. He's kind of a bit of a strange person, but he's a good guy. I won't use his last name. His first name is Pat. But he lived down around Tok. And I was on the showroom. I had two ladies wearing these fur coats on, real Alaskan fur coats on. And they were buying super wide track snow machines. It was the end of the day. It was about 6 o'clock. I was just closing the deal. And Pat, my friend, was sitting there waiting, and as I'm talking to them, he walked up and just petted the coat, just about got hit by these women. And I said, "Hey, Pat, you don't just touch people you don't know." So I asked him, I said, "Why don't you wait for me back in the trailer?" And so he went back there, and I finished closing this deal and went back there about, 20 minutes later. And there he is standing there finishing his second Prince Broy beer. And I looked at him and I went, "Oh my God, you didn't just drink one of those." He goes, "No, this is my second one." I said, "What are you doing?" He didn't know they were 33-year-old unpasteurized beer. Now, granted, they were cold beer in a fridge, so my fault there. But I said, "Pat, how do they taste?" He goes, "Not very good." I said, "Well, why would you have a second one?" He said, "Well, I was thirsty." So I panicked. I'm freaking out. I'm thinking, this guy, I don't want him dying in my trailer. I don't know what unpasteurized 33-year-old beer is going to do to somebody's stomach lining. I have no idea what's living in that can. And so I called the poison control hotline number. I looked it up. I called poison control. I was on hold for a while, and then I got through. This is a national. This isn't even local. I just dialed the poison control number, and I guess they transfer you to the national line. Anyway, so I told the guy what the situation was. I got a guy here, drank about 24 ounces of 33-year-old unpasteurized beer. Is there something we should do, something we should expect? Should I get him to the hospital? Should I pump his stomach? Should I make him vomit? And I, he put me on, he goes, I don't know. I've never heard of such a thing. So he puts me on hold for about 10 minutes. I can hear the guy's stomach gurgling, Pat's. And he gets back on there and he goes, we have absolutely no idea. We don't have this in the manual. Here's what I suggest. Have him stay hydrated, maybe drink some Gatorade, get some electrolytes and some fluid in there to dilute it, and just keep a really close eye on him. Well, no, he was heading back to Tok that night, that afternoon. He didn't care. He's going. I said, okay, Pat, good luck. I didn't know what else to say. You know, I said, you just pay attention to your stomach, right? So the next morning, I called him. I said, hey, you're alive. He goes, yeah. He goes, yeah, that was interesting. I said, what? He goes, my stomach talked to me the whole way. He goes, for 4 hours, it was growling and making noise. Didn't feel very good, but it settled down. So I don't know what he got inside him, but it reminds me of my story of Midway Lodge. If you went to Dark Winter Nights, you heard that one where I had bad French fries. I won't tell it on the air because it's lunchtime and I don't want to ruin your lunch. But yeah, I got the worst food poisoning in humankind at the old Midway Lodge on the way to a Tok River hunt. I don't know what it is about Tok and stomach issues. I don't know what's going on there. But anyway, get back to what we were talking about was just the difficulty of life in Fairbanks in the early 60s versus the late 80s and even 2020. Huge difference there. So when we talk about weather there, and you talk about statistics and, hey, it was this cold for this long and it never got above zero for X days, it doesn't really matter. It's how you were able to handle it based on the conveniences in appliances, in transportation, in heating, in child care, in education, in transportation, in telecommunications, in medication, in all those kinds of things. Every decade gets easier. We're like my dad said, you know, he goes, you're spoiled, kid. And that was in the 80s. He was telling me that early 90s when I said, man, I wish I'd grown up in the 40s here. I would have loved it. And he said, no, I hated it. Yet I hated it. You have no idea how good you got it now, kid. You got a snow machine with a heated seat, hot grips, thumb warmer, high windshield. You know, we had a rope starting fluid. Your suspension was your spinal fluid, you know. So I had my first four-wheeler was a three-wheeler. It was an ATC 90, a Honda 90. Backs of my ankles are still bruised up from running over them. But, you know, and now you've got all enclosed side-by-sides with heaters, air conditioning, electric windows, wipers, all-wheel drive, heated seats. They'll go anywhere. Just unbelievable the things that we have the ability to buy, whether we have the ability to buy them or not. Just the fact that the technology and stuff has come so far. You know, my grandpa used to replace shear pins all the time. Now I can go 2 years on the same impeller in my SGX boat and never just grind stuff through it. I could keep going. But anyway, getting off subject. Anyway, that was 1961 versus what 1989 versus 1926. Just a little review. And so think about that. Think about these conveniences that we have that your mom and your grandpa and so forth didn't have. Anyway, this is Craig with The Outdoor Show. Been another Saturday. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next week.
You have been listening to The Outdoor Show with Craig Campo on KFAR Radio. Streaming live at KFARradio.com. To listen back to this program or any past episodes, simply click on The Outdoor Show in the Archives tab on the website.